Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT, it's our first episode of 2019 back from the holidays, so strap in as we take you through everything that we've missed. Is Harden the greatest offensive player to ever play the game? Will Jimmy Butler be in Philadelphia next season? Will the world explode when Anthony Davis signs with the Golden State Warriors? We'll be talking John Wall's injury and what it means for the Wizards, the Brooklyn Nets and their playoff chances, and we'll be taking you through some of our dumbest takes of 2018. So shut up, sit down, because a brand new JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to Just Ball Things. Jack and Mo, we are back. We are back, and I am not ready. No. We are back. We've had a nice, lovely break. Jack, joining me today from the sunny, dreary, cold, you tell me, New York City. J-Man, Jack Manuel, how are you?
It's a bit chilly over here. It's a bit rainy, but it's New York City, one of the best cities in the world, and I'm not going to complain about that. But we've done LA, we've done Vietnam, we've done Toronto, now we've done New York. I mean, JBT is
worldwide,
JBT, like, I feel like JBT Worldwide is a pretty sick name for the podcast. We should probably change it. We should just call it JBT Worldwide. It sounds like
it doesn't really work when we're both in Melbourne.
Yeah, but
we
like I
no
go everywhere.
Outside contact with.
I didn't even mention London either. Like, you know, London was the place where, like, this all came to fruition.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm...
Recording forever when you were in London. Like, that was...
Yeah, I know. It's been a fun ride, Nicholas, and the fact that it's taken me to NYC, it's a pleasure.
Yes, indeed. Enjoyed your first... not first, but enjoyed a nice... Nets game with your Nets fans, your Nets family, I guess, at Brooklyn Buzz. And,
It was funny. For those that haven't seen, Nick and I did a mini Periscope on his page, as well as the OTG page. We had one of our listeners, funnily enough, when we were doing one of them, come up to us. Like, if you see the video, like us sort of like nodding and saying something, it's because one of our listeners came up to us and like sort of, he showed me his phone and it was like my Twitter page. I'm like, yeah, that's me. So like clearly he knew who I was and knew who Nick was. So it was a bit of an oddly surreal experience because you sort of, when we're doing this podcasting thing, we're just doing it between each other. And like, it's cool that people listen, but to have that sort of, you know, real human interaction, it was a really memorable experience. And not going to complain about it because, you know, I got to see the Nets won. You're letting me talk because you haven't thought of a fact. Is that why, Nicholas?
No, I've got my fact. It's lovely. Go. Now that you are gone, I am sitting here recording and wearing no shirt, and I'm in my underwear. This is tremendous.
Oh, no!
No one can see me.
I'm glad I don't have video on right now.
Summer has been a bit rough in Melbourne. It is exceedingly hot.
Yeah, it's like the 40s.
No air conditioning in me. I'm going to call it a studio, but it's my bedroom. there's no air conditioning, and I can't have fans on because you'll hear it through the mics. I'm sweating in places you wouldn't have thought of, Jack.
No fans for the fam.
Yeah. So, yes, my random fact is that I am I'm not Starkers, but... I'd actually be curious to know if the people know what Starkers mean.
But I don't even know what Starkers
means. Starkers means nude, mate. You're Starkers nude. Right.
Well, like, I got McDonald's with Nick and Corey and, you know, his Nick's girlfriend, Nick's fiancée was there as well. And I said, oh, yeah, we're going to go get Macca's. And they're like, Macca's? What's Macca's?
Macca's. It's like, it's A-S, not E-R-S.
I know. I love the American people. We will not disparage them because they are our largest listener base, Nicholas. So let's stay on their good side, please.
Yes, McDonald's. All right, before we get into it, as always, got a few things that we need to plug. You can contact us on Twitter at the J-Man JBT
or at GBT Nick. We're also closely affiliated with OTG Basketball. They've got an awesome podcast network, news website, where you can keep up to date with all things NBA. Make sure to follow them on Twitter as well, at OTG Basketball. We've got Facebook, facebook.com/JustBallThings. Give us a like and a follow there. We're posting some awesome stuff where you can get involved. And you can hit us up on email, where we'll read the emails on the show, or not, if you don't want us to, that's fine. if you've got any ideas on how we can make the show better, things you want to talk about, that's completely fine. We'll help you out there. jbtpodcast@gmail.com. All right, Giacomo, let's start off here with the Busick Manuel scale. Staple here on JBT. For those of you who are new, this is a JBT created scale that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. We scale it on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or straight up fact, as I like to call them, the four tiers of fact. And I tend to delve on the alternative side. Daryl Morey, GM of the Rockets.
He is.
Big man. He has come out with an audacious quote recently.
Wow, Nicholas, your vocabulary so far with the word audacious. I like it.
Audacious is a great word. You could argue, he has said, you could argue for Harden as the best offensive player at all time. Giacomo.
At all time.
I think I said of all time. Doesn't matter. what do you reckon? Is he the best offensive player of all time?
God, no. I think
alternative fact, straight up.
Yeah, I think this is alternative fact. I think there are too many players that, you know, we get this recency bias. I get Daryl Morey, that sort of homerism about him. I think that there are plenty of players who are better than James Harden. I put out a poll to my followers, you know, and 66% of people voted that they'd rather have a prime Kobe on there. Now, everyone knows that we, and especially me, I'm not big fans of Kobe Bryant, but I do respect his game and the impact that he had on the NBA. I think that he is better. I think that Michael Jordan's better. I think that LeBron James is better. I think that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is better. I can make an argument for Wilt Chamberlain in terms of the impact that he had in his day. So I think there's plenty of players who are better than James Harden. But right now, I think he's solidifying his status as one of the best shooting guards of all time, though he is, at the same time, a combo guard. So in this sort of positionless NBA, he's been tremendous. And I'm not downplaying the fact that he has been absolutely awesome. And, you know, he's, of his last 12 games, averaging over 40 points, 9 assists, 6.6 rebounds, 64% true shooting percentage. He's been phenomenal. But all-time, DM, Daryl Morey has got to chill, bro.
I think that maybe because we're living in this time of James Harden, you overlook a lot of things that he does. Like all the negatives of his game will be quickly forgotten once he retires and potentially has two MVPs. The lack of final success is the only thing that is killing him at the moment. If he had an NBA championship or an NBA an NBA championship would be the very least. If he had a Finals MVP or two NBA championships, if he was in a similar boat to LeBron, he would be definitely considered as one of the best offensive players to ever play the game. He wouldn't be in that GOAT talk because of his lackluster defense. But you can see it in younger generations coming through. That step back J that he has patented has taken, you know, you see Doncic now. That's his go-to move. When you attack with such vigor and then step back as strong and like with the amount of strength that Harden does, it's incredible. His clutch numbers are amazing. Like you said, his past 10 games have just been mind-blowing. 40 points over the past 10 games. He's averaging 33 points for the year. I would assume that he is leading everyone in scoring. He's currently got that scoring championship. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but averaging 33 points, I would say.
Yeah, 33.6 points on the season.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a case to be made. And I think he's not going to be thought of now because of, you know, people hate the way he gets to the line, which I think is a tremendous skill, and that is part of being a great offensive player. His questionable travels, which is probably not part of being an offensive player, but hey, if he gets away with it, he gets away with it.
That's fair.
All of, like, people dislike a lot of his game, and I can understand why you would, which is why a lot of people won't put him in that sort of conversation. But I think he deserves to be there at the moment, purely from an offensive standpoint. So I'm going to give this one a Twitter. I'm still on the negative side because I think he needs to have some playoff success. But as soon as he gets that, then he's definitely in that conversation.
That's fair. But we'll wait and see how it all pans out in the playoffs, because that's where the best players prove it, and James Harden has yet to do that. So
less foul calls in the playoffs, you know. When you're jacking 23 threes a game,
it's a bit harder, you get defended.
A certain way, like defense is clamped down. It's a different game, the playoffs. It's a very different game. And that's the thing. Like, it may not translate. Let's just find out how good of an offensive player he is this playoffs.
We shall. And Jimmy Butler is a player who's been in the news of late as well, Nicholas. he will not be in Philadelphia beyond this season. Now, the reason why I put this up is because a lot of people were just talking about the drama itself, the fact that he, quote-unquote, challenged Brett Brown. And Brett Brown came out recently, said before today's game, that he didn't feel challenged. And we talked about it on the NBA outlet with Corey Waldron and Nick Faye. And the fact is that apparently Brett Brown himself, like you mentioned, didn't feel like it was challenging. But players around, you know, or staff felt that it was disrespectful towards. So, and I mentioned, like, I don't understand who this benefits to leak this news. Like, it does not benefit in any sense of the word Jimmy Butler, because he wants that money to stay long term with the Philadelphia 76ers. And I don't know why it would definitely not benefit Brett Brown. And it wouldn't, like, it may be the only person you can sort of think of is like teammates of Jimmy Butler that aren't his biggest fan. You know, is it Ben Simmons? Is it Joel Embiid? Is it these other guys? I'm not 100% sure. And will he be in Philadelphia during the season? It's hard to say. I'm going to go wiki. I'm going to go a bit stronger with this one. I think it's super duper hard to say. But you know, we're not necessarily paid the big money to answer these questions. But we are paid something. You know, like cents on the dollar. But I think I find it hard to see where else he would be at the same time. But it's certainly not going to be in Philly if things keep going the way that they are.
I mean, like you said, we're not. I never claimed to be an expert. I think anyone who's listened to this podcast, Jack is the more learned one of the two. But I like to have my input, and I'm crazy. Will Jimmy Butler be in Philadelphia beyond this season? I think he will be, but solely because I'm not sure that anyone will want to have him. If all this has come out, it's exactly like that. You sent me a meme yesterday. It's the Simpsons meme. It's just like
Have I gone too far? No, it's the children that are
wrong. It's the children that are wrong. Am I so out of touch? And it's the same thing with Butler. It's an old thing that is very famous. It's like, if you're constantly having problems at your workplace, and like you get like, you know, you always come down to like, oh, you know, I had a crap boss. It's like, oh, you know, I didn't like the work. My colleagues were shit.
Yeah.
And you go through like multiple different workplaces. Like, maybe you're the problem.
It's like the old breakup saying, it's not you, it's me, but it's him. Like it certainly feels that way. And I think that this has been overblown somewhat. I mean,
anything that Jimmy Butler would say is going to get overly scrutinized now that everything with Minnesota happened. And so if he slightly says something, because he's a very forward person, there's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so if he comes across as a little bit too aggressive, it is going to get way blown out of proportion. And if that's the sort of rapport that Brett Brown and Jimmy Butler have, then good on him, because that's the sort of coach you need to be to take stuff from Jimmy Butler.
I agree. You need to be thick-skinned. Yep. What's the next one, Nicky boy?
The next one, Luka Doncic, mate. The All-Star votes have come out. The Don. I don't know why Lee Ellis calls him the Donk. It's such a bad nickname. Anyway.
The Donk is horrible.
It's so bad. The Don is so much better. The Donk, Don like Don Quixote. I'm pretty sure it was Don Quixote.
I'm pretty sure it was Don Quixote.
Well, who was it? Never mind. Two Simpsons reference already. We're at a good pace.
Yes, we are.
Luca's return on the first All-Star voting release is shocking. Shocking.
Shocking. He's second. Fourth in total votes in the Western Conference. LeBron's got past that seven figures, the mil mark. Stephen Curry is out near 800,000. Derek Rose is just near 700,000. And Luka Doncic is at about 20,000 behind that. He has more votes than Kevin Durant, James Harden, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, Paul
George. He's fourth in the West. Am I calculating that right? Yeah, fourth in the West.
Yes, and I mean he's still behind Kyrie Irving, Giannis, Kawhi. So like he's about like fifth or sixth or seventh, something like that. But he has same with Embiid. He has more votes than a lot of these guys. The starter sort of debated what the most surprising thing about it all was, and yeah, you can make the argument for Derek Rose and such, but I didn't really see this happening for Luka Doncic. I mean, he is the social media darling. Like, he is the most gif-able person of all time. He has a lovely smile, very pretty boy, nice little baby face going. You know, he has all the highlights, the pretty passes and stuff. But there's a part of me that, I made this argument pretty strongly on the outlet, and I'll make it on JBT as well, that the fans are dumb. Like, the people that are listening to JBT, the fans that are listening to JBT right now are not dumb. And all of you, whoever you are wonderful, learned people. But if you voted for Luka Doncic, then I don't know what you're doing, because there are so many better players in the NBA. And I made the argument that I think a guy like De'Aaron Fox has had just as good a season as him and would be, you know, marginally better or on the same sort of level, but aren't getting the votes because they aren't Luka Doncic and, you know, they aren't in Slovenia. And like you mentioned, Nick, they don't have the Europe vote, but that's just me. You know, the Derrick Rose thing pissed me off as well. The Dwayne Wade, not as much, but the Derrick Rose thing as well, because he's been good, but he's not an all-star, and I don't like his off-court stuff. So there's plenty of things that I'm annoyed about, but this is what we get. And I think Corey made a good point. I think they need to lessen the percentage of like, you know, votes in terms of the percentage of all the votes that taken into account.
They did last year.
They need to do it again, man. They need to do it again because
the whole point is that the problem isn't that people are voting stupidly. The problem is that people put so much emphasis behind, and I've argued this for now. This is the third season we've been doing this. I've been arguing this since the start. People put so much emphasis on, oh, I'm a full-time All-Star. I don't give a shit. How many All-NBAs are you in? Because that's the objective. That's the objective study.
I know, but at the same time, and I've probably repeated myself as well, it goes on your like resume. Like, how many time All-Star were you? Cool. Does that mean you deserve it? Like, if you were a zero-time All-Star...
People care more about All-Star than NBA. And I think it's just because All-Star's, like, cooler to say. It's easier... It's cooler to say you're an All-Star than you are an All-NBA.
All-NBA? Like, it's just the name of the league, Nicholas. What are you talking about?
I honestly think it's as simple as that. Because there's no other reason. It's not a better judge of who's a better player.
No, it's not. And I think, you know, in terms of... when contracts are taken into account as well, you get all-star bonuses, all those different things. But what was the thing again? Let me look at it. Luka Doncic is the most surprising thing. Yeah, I think this is a fact. I think that...
You think it's a fact? I completely saw this coming. I just want to throw some stats out here to your mate. What's the population of Europe?
Oh, come on, man.
741 million people.
I thought you were going to give me an NBA stat of like Luka Doncic. He's like, you know, he got 15, 5, and 5.
In the first ballot, he got 680,000 votes. That is 0.000917% of Europe's population. Come on, Europe.
You actually
up your game.
You actually did the math. You're such a freaking nerd. I love you as well at the same time. I don't know why. But if
1% of Europe's population enjoyed basketball, that's still 7.4 million people that would be in love with Luka Doncic, who would 100% give him a vote. Europe need to get up and get voting. Get voting. 100% all of the Zaza Pachulia votes are going to... Luka Doncic as well.
Yeah.
The Georgians love him.
Georgia, we ask you to kind of mind your P's and Q's. I mean, we're stuck in a community reference there. Why not? Anthony Davis Nicholas has no chance, we've mentioned him before, of signing with the Warriors. I mean, I will regale this news, and this is via plenty of different outlets, but Zach Lowe was the one that reported it. Apparently, that the Warriors have been linked to Davis in the past, and I'm actually going to have a little bit of a spicy trade for the trade marathon at OG Basketball.
Spicy.
That will involve Anthony Davis and the Golden State Warriors, so stay tuned to that one. But I mean, unless
Why would they?
Just not happening.
Wait, they've got Boogie, they've got Kevin Durant. Why do they need more?
If they get Anthony Davis, I mean,
who do they need to give up for Anthony Davis? Because is he free agent this year? Is that the whole thing?
Okay, I'm gonna give everyone a sneak peek to what it is, because there's probably not that many people listening.
Just give us some teams. You don't have to give away the whole thing. Just the teams, and then I'll try and reverse engineer it.
Go. All right. So there's plenty of teams that can, you know, are in the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. We know Boston. We know the Lakers, and you know some lesser radar teams. You know, Cam T has done an article for OGBasketball.com as well to check out. But for me, the Warriors, I think it's obvious to players that need to be involved as well. And if they make this happen, I mean, it would piss me the hell off. But I think that it is highly unlikely. But I think that there's a chance. So, I mean, I love to always go less than Twitter, but I'll go Twitter just for the sake of the fact that it's a new year, so it's a new me. So I'm actually going to stick to one of the scales.
I mean, I never thought that they would get Boogie. So I'm not going to be... I'm not naive enough to give this one an alternative fact.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to give this one a Twitter as well, because you never know. The Warriors... recruiting power is just tremendous.
I mean, Draymond just sends that text, hey bro, we need you, and Katie's like, all right, cool.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I personally think that Davis will set up in Lakertown, because I'm not sure that they're getting Kawhi Leonard. In fact, no, I do not think they are getting Kawhi Leonard. I think Kawhi Leonard will stay. They've done a Paul George, and they're going to convince him to stay in Toronto, definitely. Toronto's a beautiful city, mate. I've never been, but I've always wanted to go.
I have. It is a very lovely city, but, you know, Kawhi apparently doesn't like the cold, so I'm on the Clippers bandwagon with Kawhi.
Okay, well, there you go. But yeah, I think Davis will end up in Lakertown. I really don't... It might just be a bit of my heart saying that, because I do not want him to go to the Lakers. I don't want him to waste the Pelicans. I would love him to get some success with LeBron and just...
Sure.
Get LeBron some more rings. Please.
Yeah, why not? Please. Yeah, because it validates your GOAT status claim his. But Nicholas, we'll stay on the New Orleans Pelicans, and this is via the NBA outlet. Make sure you subscribe to that and this on iTunes. Alvin Gentry, coach of the New Orleans Pelicans, is on the hot seat in that city. I'll go first. I think this is a plain and straight up fact. Mm. They have been poor of late. And I don't think a lot of it goes down.
They smacked the Cavs today, 133-98. It was the Cavs, but that is an impressive line.
I mean, of course it is, but who hasn't done that to the Cavs this season? Funnily enough, we lost to the Cavs, but we're also 7th in the.
But
we're
you beat the Pelicans, so you know it all comes around.
It certainly does, but I think that Alvin Gentry deserves a lot of credit in a sense, but at the same time, when it comes down to the scapegoat, it's always the coach. It's never the player, unless you come out.
Yeah.
Unless you come out with Anthony. Like,
any
that's generally
poor performing team right now, I reckon you could go, apart from the ones that, I doubt Igor's on the bloody hot seat for Phoenix. But what's his last? I can never get his last. Kokoshkov?
Kokoshkov. Yes.
Yeah, I'm just calling him Iggy. He's Iggy from now.
So just confuse him and Andre Iguodala up consistently.
And what's Iggy's the singer's name? Yeah, that's the one.
I'm so fancy.
Doom, doom, doom.
You're already known.
No, let's not turn this into a karaoke podcast, please.
Why not?
Because you have to sing.
It's perfect for, baby.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could look at any underperforming team and say that person's on the hot seat, that person's on the hot seat. Scott Brooks would be one.
I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, and I honestly... You know me. I try to turn this into as much Wizards talk as possible. But
we're actually going to make it a regular thing on the podcast, Nicholas. So, like, save it because
I hate it. I hate them. Right now, God damn. I hate talking about the Wizards right now. But anyway,
There's a soundbite right there for you.
They're 18 and 22. They may be 19 and 22 after that win today. I'm not sure if all of this is updated. But they're just... I mean, they beat the Rockets like not too long ago. Oh, it's it was in October, actually.
That they have no depth. I'm going to keep repeating this stat. Against the Nets the other night, our bench outscored them 55 to 5. 5 points from their bench unit. Their starting five is great. You know, Jrue Holiday, Elfrid Payton's good, Julius Randle's good. And, you know, you chuck in, you know, whatever wing you want. Nikola Mirotic, who's been injured as well, hasn't helped, you know, things by any stretch of the imagination. But they've got to be better.
They
have
had
to make
a really... What killed them was there was a December road trip that absolutely destroyed them. Milwaukee, Los Angeles, Sacramento, Dallas. Yeah. So you... What was worse is that they started with the good team. So, like, Milwaukee and LA, I'm sure, like, they had the quality to win, but they just couldn't get it done. Those are good teams, fair enough. But then at the end of the road trip, when you're getting tired and, you know, things start... You know, the end of your road trips are generally your scheduled losses.
Yeah.
And they were against Sacramento and Dallas. And it's, I think that timing was just atrocious.
Really,
and they lost those. They lost five in a row. They lost the Miami game before that. But yeah, definitely on the hot seat. They're underperforming. Davis is just balling. Like that. Where was it? The loss against
us, 34-26.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and that came at a loss. It comes back to the thing he said maybe last month or 2 months ago. He feels like he has to play perfectly to get that W. And that comes down to a lack of personnel, but that comes down to coaching. To staff not being able to fill the positions that is needed, not being able to get the most out of... I mean, to be fair, he's gotten a bit out of Payton. But, like, when you've got Frazier tallying your highest assist games, in some games, like, generally it's Holiday who is amazing, but, like... Frazier can't be a key player in your team.
Definitely cannot.
Yeah, so he's definitely on the hot seat. And if he leaves, then, I mean, they might just do a whole rebuild. Leave Davis, leave Gentry, and start anew.
Yeah.
Who knows? No. Who knows?
We will certainly be watching that one. But Nicholas, I mentioned we'll be talking about the Wizards on a weekly basis.
God.
I'm sorry, mate. But John Wall's injury means a full rebuild is in order.
Tank falls Ion. Let's just play the explode. Let's blow it up. Blow it up.
All right. It's on.
No, I really wanna see where this goes with Beal. Even if we don't make the playoffs, but Beal is our main guy, I'm happy. Like, I would want to rebuild through Beal. Beal's still young. Like, we can still rebuild through Beal.
Are you going to sell your John Walls and you're going to sell your John Wall sweater?
I got a John Wall jersey for Christmas as well.
Oh, man, it's been a bad...
And I was looking at it, I'm just like, I hope he's here in a year.
I mean, he will be. Because,
I mean, he will be. He'll just be the guy who's, you know, drinking champagne on the bench because he knows he's not going to get game time and he's earning $50 million a year.
Yeah, it's not a bad situation. I mean, I don't hate it either. I mean, our boy Stephen A. Smith has had some thoughts, and we'll listen to one of our favorites give his thoughts on John Wall, and there's been a notorious beef with them. Stephen A., over to you.
Put on your big boy pants, John Wall. Uh-uh. Not that simple. That's not how this works. John Wall can play. John Wall is a five-time All-Star. John Wall is not a scrub. But it is time that people recognize that when you're the face of a franchise, you're a franchise player. Guess what? You galvanize the team. You set the example. You can't come into camp out of shape. You can't look like you was hanging out in South Beach drinking tequilas. I'm not saying he was. I said looking like it. You can't do that. I can do that. I'm on camera. I ain't got to run up and down the court 94 feet, 82 nights a year. I ain't asking 18 to 20,000 people to pack an arena to come watch me play. All they got to do to watch me is turn on their television sets. And I deliver the goods, make no mistake about it. But that's beside the point. My point to you is that's what you don't do as a player.
What I love about that monologue, Jackie Boy, is that he starts talking about himself and how he could perform. It's like, don't you? I bring the goods. Don't you worry about that. He's good for a laugh, Stephen A. But he's 100% correct. You can't. He's amazing. Like you said, he's an amazing player, 5-time All-Star. We literally just had a discussion about how comparing All-Stars is not good, but he is on. He makes all NBA teams as well, no doubt. He is a good player, and peak John Wall is tremendous. There's a reason I'm a Wizards fan. And there is a reason I have 2 John Wall jerseys. He is tremendous. A generational talent. But he doesn't have the right attitude to be a franchise player. He doesn't have the leadership skills. He doesn't have the qualities. He doesn't have the work ethic.
One of our writers, Jorge Cantu, literally just put out a piece for OGDBasketball.com. Why John Wall's season-ending injury was the worst thing that could have happened to the Wizards. Make sure you go and read that one. Plenty of details there. So it's making plenty of waves around the mark, around the NBA. But, I mean, we've spoken about it plenty, Nicholas, about the day that the Nets would overtake the Wizards as a better franchise and as a playoff team. The days are happening, my friend. How does it feel?
It's,
mate?
It has happened far too soon for my liking. And there is a world where we are above you this season. I think
certainly
I think we're like 4-3 games behind you, maybe.
We're 7th, mate. We're 7th.
8th, mate. 8th. Or did that change today? You're 7th.
That changed after because the Hornets and Pistons both lost tonight.
Ah, you bum. We're 11. 15 and 24. Yeah, but we are... I was talking to a good friend, Kieran, of my good mate of mine, name drop him there, about this injury, and you know, I'm not saying we're a better team, but we're a more fluid team without John Wall. Beal is a lot more selfless player. He's a lot more free flowing. He works in a variety of situations.
Give
Sato more playing time. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thomas Bryan has been showing that he can, you know, do the business. There's hope there. There just needs to be different management. Not coaching, management. Front office management. Ernie Grunfeld, get the fuck out.
I think there's hope without being hopeful. But, Nick, we will get to my Brooklyn Nets.
Mm.
And with that, the Brooklyn Nets will make the playoffs. I love that little grumble because you're sort of feeling the fact that it could happen, aren't you?
I mean, yeah. Definitely. You're better than the Hornets. The Heat can be, up and down. And I'd say that's pretty... consistent with their record. They're 17 and 18. I'd say they've got the perfect balance of up and down.
They've been good of late.
But other than that, it's really those last 3 spots. And currently you're in, and that's fine. Yeah. It's going to be a tight race between the Hornets, Nets, and the Pistons. I think Heat might have an edge. So maybe that notches one more spot. So maybe it's only the last 2. But Orlando have a say in that. Wizards and below, no chance. So that essentially rules out Wizards, Hawks, Bulls, Knicks, and the Cavs. Out of the question.
Yeah, and we talked about this in the NBA outlet as well. I think that it's becoming more and more likely. And out of the teams in the last 14 games, the Nets are 3rd in record. They're 11-3. They're only behind the Pacers and the Rockets. Yet no one seems to be giving them the kudos they deserve at all. Like, I don't know what it is about
it's
us.
It's the same story of Brooklyn. Even when you were up and coming, you had all of these young talent. I only knew of them because you would talk about them constantly, because no one else talks about them.
Well, they deserve being talked about, and we're on a weekly basis, because this is our podcast. We're going to talk about our teams. And I think that this... I'm not going to fact, because like you, Nicholas, I prefer to be a pessimist and be surprised. So I don't want to go too hot take you here with a fact and... Brooklyn Nets are waiting to play. I'm sorry, Mr. Nick Fay. You can keep me off the Brooklyn buzz if you want. But I think that this is Twitter, Wiki, somewhere around there.
For your sake, mate, I'm putting this one as a facts. I'm giving you all the faith in the world. So if you let me down, you'll hear about it.
No, of course I will. I don't expect not to. But yeah, I think with D'Angelo Russell's been great. Jared Allen is blocking everyone who can put up a basketball near a rim. Mm-hmm. He's been sensational. Joe Harris is the best basketballer in the NBA. Don't at me at the JManJBT. I love him and I want him to have my babies. He has been sensational and I will continue my campaign for him and that he will make the 3-point contest. And if he does not, then we riot.
We will riot.
All listeners on the Buzz, all listeners on JBT, all listeners on the NBA outlet must join me wherever I am in the world. But yeah, the Nets have been playing some really good basketball and I could talk about them plenty, but that's what the Brooklyn Buzz is for. Again, subscribe to that one on iTunes. But Nicholas, we got time for one, two more. What do you think?
Probably two more. Yeah, we'll go two cool. more.
All right, Russell Westbrook is the best all-round point guard in the NBA, Nicholas. Yeah? Nah?
All-round. I mean, those triple-doubles don't lie. I mean, he's got a very valid valid argument going for him. Steph Curry can still pass. I think people forget about that, considering he's, the discrepancy between his passing, his maximum passing ability and maximum shooting ability is, well, it's quite huge. But he can still pass. I'm not saying that he's a bad passer, but his shooting is just transcendent.
And I think like the only thing, I don't think he's the best all-round point guard in the NBA. So that's why I'm going to go with an alternative factor because I think he's better at some things than a lot of NBA point guards. But I think the main thing is he's the best probably point guard rebounder. And whether those stats are inflated of sorts, but he does have ferocity when it comes to getting those boards, offensive or defensive. I don't think he is the best passer. I think that there are plenty of other passing point guards that are better than him in the NBA right now. And like you mentioned, shooting, there's plenty of players. Kyrie Irving, Damian Lillard, Stephen Curry. There's plenty of guys who are better than that.
We're not talking the best. I agree with he's not the best passer, but he's the best passer who also rebounds, who also shoots.
Yeah, but I don't think, in terms of all-round point guard, I get what you're saying, but his shooting has been so bad this season. His free throw shooting
has been... Yeah. What the hell has happened there? Yeah.
And if you want to argue that Ben Simmons is a point guard, you can make the argument that Ben Simmons is a better rebounder. Yeah. And if you're arguing about
Ben
defense...
Ben Simmons a better passer as well.
Better passer as well. And if you're arguing about defense, there's plenty of guys who are better than Russell Westbrook as a point guard defender. Drew Holiday, I think is probably the number one guy in that sort of realm. So I think, Russell Westbrook loves to toot his own horn, and it's part of the reason why we love him. But I think this is an alternative fact. I think maybe I'm going a bit too...
I mean, this all comes from his, he had a shocking shooting performance in one game for a 22. And he was saying that, I don't just shoot the ball. I pass, I rebound, defense, whatever. And it also comes, he said that I'm the best rebounder in my position, I'm the best passer in my position. These are quotes that he said, I'm the best defender in my position. Well, I would agree with one of those 3 points.
Maybe not even one.
Like off the top of my head, if you say rebounding point guards, my mind goes straight to Russell Westbrook. So that's why I'm thinking I'd have to look deeper in it to find, I'd have to scrape someone who's better. So I'll give him that for the sake of argument. But I mean, I don't agree with what he said, but if our Busek Manuel is saying he's the best all round point guard in the NBA, I'm going to give this one a Wikipedia fact.
Wikipedia?
A little bit on the high end. And I am not the biggest Russell Westbrook fan. You know this of me.
I know.
But his ability to explode to the basket and still get buckets, he's still getting 22 points a game, which is great. He's averaging a triple-double on the season. He's averaged a triple-double on the season the past two seasons. That is, if that's not a symbol of being all-round, then I don't know what is. He has tremendous passing highlights of little scoops underneath the rim. He's able to find, he's a good passer. There is no doubt.
Sure.
And he's a good defensive rebounder, but mainly that just comes down to sheer will. He wants the ball in his hands.
Yeah, it's sort of lost all meaning to me a little bit, Nick, in terms of I think he puts up empty stats quite consistently, and I think he's not even the best player on his team anymore.
When it comes to defense, he's averaging the most steals this year than he like career high steals. He's averaging career high steals right now at
2.7
a game.
Yeah, I mean, he's taken, you know, he's gone leaps and bounds. And I think that, you know, a lot of credit should go to Coach Billy Donovan.
Yeah, that's 100%.
We put on the hot seat before. But Nicholas, we will end with a little bit of a self-burn of sorts in our dumbest takes of 2018. It's a new year, and we are going to continue to remain as stupid as we have ever been on JBT. That ain't going to change. I think half this episode, you can probably throw it out the window, because by tomorrow, there'll be plenty of new news or plenty of new takes that will make them null and void. But Nicholas, what were your dumbest takes of 2018?
Please don't make me go first.
Yes, I am. Because then it makes mine look even less worse, because yours are first, and then it's like,
as always, I was up today and I was doing my part of the podcast on the day that we record, which is classic me. And I was looking at this, and Jack's all prepared. He's very neat. He is a prepared man. And he had his takes written down on the document. And I'm like, that's not even that bad. If those are the craziest takes that he had. And then I was thinking back to mine and the many that I have had. And I picked two of my worst. So here we go.
Here we go.
My dumbest takes. This wasn't even
holding. Have you got drum roll?
I do. This wasn't even all of 2018. This was just the start of the season. This was the last 3 months of 2018. I would have said a whole heap of dumb shit at the start of 2018 that I've just forgotten.
Oh, God.
If you've got any takes that you want to hit back at me, at JBTNick, or email jbtpodcast@gmail.com, please.
Yep.
I'd love to know my stupidity. Anyway, the first one, drum roll, please. Denver will not make the playoffs. Denver right now are sitting first. They absolutely smacked their opponents today. Who did they play today? I don't know. Nikola Jokic got bloody a 39 point triple double. They beat the Hornets. They're sitting at 26-11 right now. They are first.
I think they might make the playoffs.
They might do, Jack. I think I might be wrong about that one. I had no faith in Coach Malone. I had no faith in Jokic. And, you know, everyone's saying, like, the growth of Jamal Murray, the growth of Gary Harris. I didn't believe it. And it's come to bite me in the bum. Despite all of their injuries as well, it has been quite the thing in Denver. Quite a time. Anyway, that was one of the takes. There's another one. And it involves our Wizards. Wizards. And this is only the take I did on JBT. I'm not even talking about the take I did on the NBA outlet. The Wizards will finish third in the East.
Oh, dear Lord.
We are 11th right now, and we're not going to make the playoffs. I'm saying that now. Hot takey as that is.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why. It was a schedule. Like, all of this stuff was completely foreseeable that we would have a meltdown. I mean, we had Dwight Howard on our team, and he wasn't even the reason why our locker room went to crap. It's just a classic Wizards times 10. And it was completely foreseeable, given all of the crap that we've had in the past. I don't know. I just thought that, you know, this was the year we're going to turn around. We're going to come in locked in. Are focused after what happened in last year's playoffs with Dwight Howard, a bit of defense.
Yeah.
But it never happened. And then, you know, Dwight Howard likes trannies and then he gets out with a sore ass. It's just, it's crazy. You could write a movie about what's happened to the Wizards.
You certainly could. I'll give you mine, and they're not that bad in comparison. So,
in comparison,
it's going to make
far out.
Gonna make me look so much better. Draymond Green as Defensive Player of the Year.
It's not even
funnily
bad.
Enough, it's not because funnily enough, one of the guys on Dunked On had him as their Defensive Player of the Year. I just didn't think that. I'm like, oh, cool. Maybe my take isn't that bad. But Brandon Ingram as Most Improved. That was your take.
That was my tip as well. Like, that's what I mean. That didn't even break the top five for me.
I mean, and
worst
that's
takes.
I mean, he's been bad, but I'm sure I've said some dumb stuff as well. And for those that want to at me, at the J-Man JBT, or again, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. But Nicholas, anything else on Busey Manuel or do we want to get to JB Team of the Week?
I reckon we'll get to JB Team of the Week.
JB Team of the Week.
Yes, welcome to JB Team of the Week. For those of you who are new, this is where we recognise the players that have been outstanding in their position for the week just gone. It's been a very long break without JB Team, but here we go. We go right into it. At the point guard spot, Russell Westbrook totaled 32 points, 11 rebounds, 11 assists, and 4 steals in 35 minutes during Monday's 122-102 victory over Dallas. Westbrook turned things around after shooting 4 of 22 in his previous game, ending with 32 points on 13 of 24 shooting with his in his 10th triple-double of the season. Very nice there, Mr. Russell. Isn't that right,
Jeff? Yes. yep. I'll go with Mr. Russell. That sounds a little bit better.
Shooting guard, none other than James Harden. Continued to roll with a 43-point triple-double. Yep. 43 points, 10 rebounds, 13 assists on Monday to carry the Rockets to a 113-101 win over Memphis. As of Monday, the 31st of December, Harden has 408 points in his last 10 games, according to the Elias Sports Bureau research. Harden joined Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant as the only players in the past 3 decades to score at least 400 points over a 10-game span.
Phenomenal.
He is amazing. He produced another gargantuan performance against the Warriors with the overtime tire and then the winner there as well, both three-pointers. He had a 40-point triple-double, 44 points, 10 rebounds, 15 assists. What a week it has been. What a month it has been for James Harden.
Yes,
sir. Yeah. Paul George taking the shooting, the small forward position. Finished with 37 points, 15 of 29 shooting, plus 4 steals, and his standard lockdown defense. It was a crowd-silencing performance, and one that has helped OKC solidify themselves as one of the real contenders out in the West. Kawhi Leonard taking the power forward position. He shone in the Raptors' win over the Jazz. Leonard posted a career-high 45 points, 16 of 22 from the field, to go with 6 rebounds and a dime. To round out a career high night for the Claw. Taking the center position, a bit of hot debate here at JBT. Yusuf Nurkic capped off a nice OT win against the Kings with a 5-by-5 game. You know, I love me quintuple singles.
Oh, man.
But it's close. It'll happen.
This has never happened in NBA history.
Yeah, he notched 24 points, 23 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 blocks, 5 assists in a truly dominant performance. He's the only player in NBA history to post a 2020 5-by-5 game.
Wow.
Impressive stuff there from Nurk. Let's move on to Rookie Watch.
Put it down, young fella!
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
Yes, for those of you who are new, this is where we award 1, 2, or 3 votes to the rookies based on their weekly performance. Jackie Boy, take it away.
Yes, sir. One vote goes to point guard Trae Young, who was the impetus for the Hawks' narrow win over the Cavs, finishing with 21 points, 3 rebounds, 9 assists, and a steal. With 2 votes, we have DeAndre Ayton. He put up a stunning stat line, 33 points, 14 rebounds, and 4 steals with an assist in a narrow loss to the Nuggets.
He's certainly finding his way, Mr. Ayton.
He really, really is. And then 3 votes, none other. Tight win over the Thunder. Luka Doncic, the Don himself, continued his superb form with the headlining performance, 25 points, 3 rebounds, 7 assists. The Don is getting plenty of love, not just from the fans, but from us at JBT.
He's a good player. It's good ham. It's a good name. Good all round.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. But what are we doing next?
Is good. Mate, cool. Rehashing an old classic. Let's head right over to DBS. Drop.
Steven, I like your hustle. That's why it was so hard to cut you.
Bench.
No, God, please, no! No!
Start.
All right, that's more like it.
This is DBS.
Yes, DBS, as it's mentioned, stands for drop, bench, and start. We've got 3 players here. Fairly standard conversation coming up to All-Star Week. A lot of MVP talk. etc. Harden, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Anthony Davis. Mate, who you dropping, who you benching, who you starting? This may be one of the hardest ones ever.
Yeah, we've done some mighty difficult ones, but this one, I think, you know, we got to bring it back. We've got to bring it back in a big fashion, so let's make it as difficult as possible for ourselves. So what I am doing is I am going to drop Anthony Davis, which is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do because I've seen the man in person, and he is phenomenal. I don't think Anthony Davis will get dropped from anything in his entire life, but DBS is a cruel, cruel mistress. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bench James Harden, and I'm going to start the Greek Freak. What are your thoughts?
I like it because I've done the same thing with Davis.
Okay, cool.
And it's a hard decision. Of course it's a hard decision. The man averages close to 30 points a game.
You could say it's a hard decision.
If you were sitting next to me, I would be winking at you right now. Or like the eyebrow raises and people... You can just imagine that one and laugh at yourself.
I know,
internally.
And I'm probably touching your knee from thousands of kilometers away. And for those who don't know, I am in New York right now, in a midtown hotel, listening to Nick's sultry tones. Mm-hmm. Who you starting, my friend?
I'm going a bit different. I am a big fan of the beard. You know that. I love his game. He has certainly proved himself. He's averaging 40 points over the past 10 games.
Yeah,
I mean,
we prefaced that
with in the other segment that we have.
JB Team. That's the one we do. Yep.
And he's up there with Kobe and MJ. We discussed it in Busing Manuel, in being, you know, Daniel Morey's, Daryl Morey's, not Daniel, saying that he could be argued as one of the greatest offensive players ever. And I think there's valid, you know, has valid things there.
Validity. Yes. Validity. Network.
There is valid things, Jack. I know what I'm saying.
you over this 2 week break, you were supposed to better yourself.
I am running the Christmas slug. Like, I'm still sluggish from the break. I haven't started work yet. My brain's not functioning. That is tomorrow though, but next week I'll be on my game, no doubt. Yeah. But I am starting Harden. Recently he has been phenomenal, but people were overlooking his stats when the Rockets were losing, because the Rockets were losing. They were fairly poor at the start of the year, but he was still putting up numbers. In those early days, he was leading scoring for a short time, and then sort of, you know, tape it off a little bit, and now this week has happened. It's just reminding us exactly what gave him that MVP last year, why he should have won it over Russell Westbrook. I'm still a firm believer of that, and you'll get some Harden fans, more hardcore than me, who would say that he deserved it over Steph, but that is another conversation. Giannis is always going to be Giannis.
Has he not been more consistent this season, though, Nick?
Yes, of course. But seeing what Harden's done in the clutch, those step-back threes are becoming almost as guaranteed as a dunk for this
guy. He's got 100 of them, and this was via Zach Lowe. And the next best person is Luka Doncic with 28. He has 72 more of those shots than anyone in the NBA. I mean, I did a nice little game thread on the OTG Basketball Twitter at OTG Basketball, and I was breaking it down, and I go to the NBA play-by-play, and literally all of his shots, he took 23 of those threes against the Warriors, and they were 27-footers because he's a step back. Like, he's just so comfortable with them. I don't doubt that it's difficult, and I buy into your reasoning. I just think Holly, over the entire season, that Giannis has been more consistent, and he is playing for the best team in terms of win-loss record right now. So I wanted to reward that. I think if we're looking at this holistically, you can make any argument for even Davis to be as a starter. But it's hard, and I think that we've got decent enough reasons. I just think that Giannis deserves it more because I think that it's almost going under the radar how good the Bucks have been, because there's a lot more fancier storylines. And I think narrative is so important in any sport, but especially the NBA. So I think, you know, if you want to have Harden as MVP, I'm not going to argue with you, but Giannis is mine.
Giannis is averaging the least amount of points over these three players that we have. Less than
he's lead,
Less than Davis, even.
But his rebounding is ridiculous.
But he's got less rebounding than Davis. Like, I'm not disparaging that Giannis has been amazing. I mean, we've both unanimously dropped Davis. But if I am playing a playoff game, or even All-Star picks, let's go All-Star picks. Both these players are going to be in the All-Star game. If I'm Team LeBron, and actually, that probably won't work because I think Giannis will be captain in the East. Is he leading the East or is Joel leading in the East? I can't even remember the vote.
Giannis is.
Anyway, let's say he wasn't. If you had the choice to pick, well, this is exactly what we do. If we had the choice to pick Harden or Giannis on your team, you or LeBron. Oh, I guess it depends who you are, because if you're Steph, you're probably not picking Harden.
I know what you're saying. I mean, I would pick Giannis just because it's a completely subjective opinion and you can't be right or wrong about it. I mean, you're obviously wrong. It feels nice to disagree again because I was chatting to my boys, Nick Faye and Corey Waldron, and they were sick of agreeing. And I like agreeing with you, Nick. That's what is part of our bants. It's what brings the listeners in. For those three people who are listening right now, shout out to you guys. But I get what you're saying. Harden has been phenomenal, but I think, you know, you're sort of talking about playoffs. You know, Harden hasn't proven in any sort of stretch of the imagination in the playoffs. That's the one knock on him.
Neither has Giannis, technically.
Yes, again, but I thought he had a better probably playoff series against the Celtics last season than Harden did overall. But we are nitpicking, and I think going forward, you know, this is based off probably a 41 sample size. And if you want to take their entire careers into basis, then maybe you go with Harden. But also, coming off the bench, James Harden has done that before. He's done that in OKC. So, like, I'm going to change the little arguments about how we sort of do this DBS thing and twist it to my own narrative so it makes me sound smarter.
Good on you, mate. Good to rehash DBS again. Good to disagree with you again. Good to have the pod back again.
Should we put it out to the people? I reckon we put it out. I'll do it on Twitter once the episode's out. I'll get Charlie to do some fans. You'll probably see him a little bit earlier than I will.
The DBS is always a good social media interactive thing. I'm really good today.
Oh my God, tremendous.
All right, let's end this thing before I have a stroke. All right, that just about does it for another week. So I'd just like to say thank you for tuning in to Just Ball Things. You can catch us on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Pods, Google Pods, Pocket Cast, Block Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your podcast. Do us a solid. Leave us a rating and review there as well. Helps us a bunch. So remember, it's you guys that make this show great, so we appreciate every and any post heading our way. Until next week.
Keep balling, superstars.